So you got a curse from Native American culture on, in a sense, the American presidency and our leadership. William Henry Harrison, who is the direct connector to this because he had defeated the Shawnee chief, winds up being the first president to die right when the Jupiter-Saturn alignments start in Earth signs. Now, what's happened is that they do this for about 180, 200 years, every 20 years, like clockwork. Okay, so you got 1840, then you got Lincoln in 1860, then you get Garfield in 1880, McKinley in 1900, Harding in 1920s, then you get Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, and now George W. Bush. And they're all like 20 years apart. The difference is that when Ronald Reagan became president, there was a slight aberration, and the Jupiter-Saturn energies were not in either Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn, which are the Earth signs.
And that was clearly obvious, right?
It happened three times in Libra, which is an air sign. He was almost assassinated on March 30th of 1980. We know the story, John Hinckley, the whole thing. He recovered, went on for two terms. Now, George W. Bush took office in the year 2000. Earlier that year, before he defeated Gore, there was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the month of May in the sign of Taurus. That's the last conjunction in Earth until we hit December of 2020. Assuming we pass the Mayan calendar and we're all here for about 8 years after 2012, in 2020, we not only end officially this Earth sequence going back to 1840, but we start a new air one that goes for at least, I believe it's 180 years into the future. And that has a completely different energy because air represents intellect, communication, social life, artistry. But right now we're in the most materialistic type of world because the largest planets, Jupiter and Saturn, relate to society itself, to government, and all the structures we see around us. Look at what's happened between 1840 and 2005 with all these Jupiter-Saturn alignments, primarily in Earth, except for one time. Everything has become focused into money, power, things in the most concrete sense, you see? And so what's happening is these presidents all wound up never leaving office alive, one way or another. Many of them were assassination victims, Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and President Kennedy, okay?
It is uncanny.
Right. All with these, in other words, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction happens sometime during the administration. That president doesn't leave office alive. Now, Franklin Roosevelt, one of the great stories here, you talk to bring all this together about prediction, free will, the curse. Yeah. Astrology for the Millions was a book that one of the great astrologers from several decades ago, Grant Louis, he was phenomenal. He understood Franklin Roosevelt, he understood Adolf Hitler, he understood the world. And this was something that came about recently when we had the predictions about whether Kerry would win or Bush. Now, I am not necessarily a supporter of the Republican line of thinking, but I absolutely knew without a shadow of doubt that President Bush would be reelected because there are certain things that you can see that have to do with his birth chart, when his administration started. You can also look at the election chart, an inaugural chart. You do all sorts of things. And it was very clear that somehow or another John Kerry would not win. Yet most astrologers out there kept on saying, oh, Kerry's going to win, Kerry's going to win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what they were doing, George, is they looked at John Kerry's individual birth chart. They saw promising cycles, and I know exactly which ones they were. They had to do with the two benefic planets, Venus and Jupiter, were moving at the top of the guy's chart. But I have learned, I've studied this for so long now, what happens is John Kerry did amazingly well that day, and his chart reflects the fact that he got all these votes.
Pollsters thought he was going to win.
The difference is astrology is not about, say, in other words, when you look at this thing, you can look at someone's chart and say, this person is going to be in a very high state, and John Kerry, I mean, that's the highest he'll probably ever be. He was on the verge of possibly winning, but he didn't win. Yet his chart still reflected greatness and opportunity. But it was not the greatness and opportunity to become the president of the United States. It was the greatness and opportunity to represent the Democratic Party. This is another thing. Each party has a chart. And I did a lot of studying. You have to have a chart that fits in with when the Democratic and Republican parties began. They have their charts. And I've done a whole study of Nixon, Roosevelt, Eisenhower, you go back to all the presidents. For instance, the first George Bush does not have a good chart relative to the Republican Party. You know, Herbert Walker. That's why mm-hmm. he was a one-termer. He shouldn't have even gotten in there in the first place because Michael Dukakis had an opportunity to beat him, but he didn't.
Well, and I'm not sure Dukakis could have beaten anybody, quite frankly. But
you see, remember, there was a reason why he lost. Remember what happened with that whole thing with he was asked the question about Kitty Dukakis?
Yes.
And then from that point onward, he fell apart. He made one statement that was, he immediately came out the next day and said, I made a mistake. But that was his downfall right there. And then he came out in a tank with that outfit. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
The fiasco.
Sure.
What I'm saying is, for instance, I've studied it, so you can look at when Robert Kennedy was running in 1968. You could actually make the case, George, that he would not have been assassinated, he would not have been killed, had he not run. He wasn't supposed to run. That was not his year. Same thing with Edward Kennedy in 1980. He ran against Carter within the Democratic Party. Edward Kennedy never wanted to be president because his brothers were assassinated. He took the safe route. He knew he wasn't going to defeat Carter, and he was able to sort of opt out. But you know what? By going against Carter, he wound up helping Carter to lose to Reagan. There are so many convoluted, unusual factors. But this has to do with free will. It has to do with making predictions and seeing how things happen. It's not as if everything is set in stone. People still make choices along the way. So the essence of what we're at now is President Bush was reelected. That doesn't necessarily mean he will survive through the next 4 years or that something unusual could still happen, which we hope doesn't from, you know, the standpoint of the fears about what an assassination or assassination attempt could inflict on the country, just like what happened when JFK
was killed. Well, and I agree. I could care less what somebody's politics are,
right.
But we do not want anything to happen to our standing president.
And not only that,
but tell me, though, will the planetary alignment be the same as it was in these previous 20-year problems?
Each one is different, okay, except that the overall pattern you see is intact. Here's what's going to happen, George. This is going to be really fascinating. If he comes out of the office and survives, okay, so he's there. There are many ways he could have to leave.
Well, based on this horrible curse, what are the odds of this happening?
Well, the question is, if the curse is untrue, if it's just a coincidence or accident, we'll know that in 2009 if he walks out of the office and he's still living. Then we know that the curse was it wasn't real, okay? But it was more of something else was happening or a series of other things. So the jury's kind of out at this point